This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 102, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Obviously, we started the show with the Gerrit Cole injury news. Just a devastating injury for the New York Yankees. We'll see if they can recover. I still have faith in this team. I know I'm probably in the minority. I don't think this is a season-ending injury for the Yankees. It may very well be for Gerrit Cole. We'll find out. They still are trying to get second opinions to see if they can avoid Tommy John surgery. But it sounds like that's what's on the forefront for Gerrit Cole. And you know, I just don't see the Yankees making any brash moves right now. They've been steady this whole time. They've had injuries. And again, I do think part of it, you know, there's like an idea that the Yankees knew. I just saw a video from John Boy saying he heard whispers back in November that the Yankees were worried about Tommy John surgery for Gerrit Cole, and that's why they pivoted to Max Fried immediately, and that they were going to get an ace. If he heard whispers, I'm not calling him a liar, but I'm just saying, like, I'd be very surprised if they literally thought Tommy John was a major concern he was an older pitcher with elbow injury, sure, right? He had an elbow issue last year that cost him half the season, or a little bit less than that, but just about half the season. So the idea that, you know, Gerrit Cole aging is an issue and you want to have a backup ace, sure, I get that. But the idea that, like, they had an idea that, they wouldn't have pushed him the way they did. They wouldn't have had him throwing 97, 98, taking him out of the second inning and then bringing him back out. Like, I know you're building him up for the season, but that seems aggressive for someone you're overly concerned about, you know, a major elbow injury. And then, like, also the idea that if he knew Tommy John was in the offing, or the Yankees knew Tommy John was in the offing, I do think the way they handled that opt-out situation would have been different. Like, do you think he opts out of that contract if he knows the Yankees have seen imaging that would suggest he needs Tommy John surgery? Do you think he would even risk that? Like, that's the reason he jumped right back in with the Yankees is because he didn't want other people to see his elbow. They didn't want, you know, he would have to go out there and shop himself. And if he looked for another contract, they would do, you know, they would do a scan of his elbow. And so that's why he went right back to the Yankees. Why would he opt out in the first place? Just because he assumed the Yankees would pick up the 10th year? The Yankees are his doctors. The Yankees see everything he sees. If the Yankees were concerned, and that's what John Boy indicated, that he had heard rumblings, not from Cole's camp, from the Yankees. That's why they signed Max Fried. The idea that the Yankees knew or had a very strong belief that Tommy John was imminent. I don't think they would have handled the spring the same with him, and I also don't think they would have handled the opt-out, nor do I think Cole would have opted out. Like, I just don't think, I think it would have been different. It doesn't make any sense. Why would a pitcher who knows that he's got a ligament issue in his elbow and knows the team knows he's got a ligament issue in his elbow, why would he opt out and give them an opportunity to move on? I don't know if that makes sense. Now, the idea of, hey, he's just getting older. Last year there was an elbow issue. Let's make sure and bolt. Let's get some, you know, Cole insurance by signing Max Fried. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that was part of it. I think we all understood that. I think we talked about it when they signed him. That very scenario. Like, hey, you know, Cole's getting older and he did have an injury last year. He's been one of the more durable starting pitchers in baseball, but, you know, he's thrown 200 innings. How many years? There's a lot of, you know, a lot of miles on those tires. I think we all understood that. But the idea that the Yankees knew, or that Cole knew, or that, you know, this was just, you know, about to happen, I find that very hard to believe. I don't think there was any real indication that Tommy John was any more prevalent than any other pitcher. Other than it was, you know, he's older. But right now, to me, this is just a question on what the owner's willing to do. Now, this is a how question. It's not even a Brian Cashman question, because I think Brian Cashman would try and make moves to improve this team. Now, I don't know if he'd want to trade blue chip prospects, because let's be honest, they don't have that many. Like, they traded a bunch of pitching and moved Michael King last year to get Juan Soto. They've made a bunch of moves, and a lot of their youth and their best prospects are now filling the Major League roster. Like, that's the other thing that always makes me laugh about, this team sucks and the organization sucks and, you know, look at their farm system. It's ranked 24th in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I understand that, but they have 2/5 of the rotation, starting shortstop, starting catcher, starting left fielder. Like, those are all prospects that have come up and filled the Major League roster. And that's why, Fliegelman asked me, and I talked about this when the heel injury happened. I thought it was stupid. The idea that Heel was a no-go for the New York Yankees to trade for Tucker made absolutely no sense. Now, I don't know if that ever would have happened. I don't know if they wanted to trade him to the New York Yankees, or if it was simply like put to them, hey, you trade us Luis Heel, you have him. Because if that were the case, then I'd be even more mad, but they wouldn't even have that conversation. Luis Heel was off limits for a rental trade, and I thought that was a mistake. I thought selling high on Luis Heel made a lot of sense. But it's about this it's about Hal right now and whether or not he's willing to add payroll. Because you've heard they're out of money. They're waiting on moving Marcus Stroman before they do anything. And they're going to go with what they have. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to go with what they have and see what kind of team they have. And it still might surprise you. I'll be honest with you. Would you be shocked if come end of June, the Yankees are 4 games up in the American League East? Would that shock you? Wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. This is what they do. Now, they got to perform in the postseason. And again, we can talk about whether this team's good enough to win a World Series. It's hard to say that. Like, again, do I blame? Like, I look at the 22 team. They were decimated by injuries. They made it to the ALCS. And their best player didn't hit. Like, it's just that simple. Like going into the trade deadline last year. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I want to, like, going into the trade deadline last year, would you have been more excited? They got Jazz. Would you have felt better about them if they got Tommy Edman? Like, if that was the move instead of Jazz Chisholm, would you have been like, yeah, oh, no, Tom, that's, oh, yeah. We would have been all pissed that Tommy Edman was not good enough. Every Yankee fan would have said, Tommy Edman, what are we doing here? And he goes on to win the NLCS MVP. Like, sometimes it's just about your players performing. It's not necessarily that the team was built all wrong, or that there was, you know, key flaws or everything. Like, sometimes it's about your players performing. Plain and simple. And the Yankees haven't got their players offensively, particularly, to perform in the biggest moments. And Judge is the main culprit right now. Like, I remember, again, 21 is a perfect example for me. In 21, in the NLCS, it was the Braves against the Dodgers. At the deadline, the Braves were decimated by injuries, and they made two moves to bolster their team. They traded for Jorge Soler and Jacques Peterson. Those are the moves that the Atlanta Braves made at the deadline to improve their team. The Dodgers were winning their division by a million games, and at the deadline added Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Now, which two players are better? Like, if you went into the trade, if you're like, hey, you got to go out there and make big moves. If the Yankees traded for Jorge Soler and traded for Jacques Peterson, or they traded for, again, now this is a couple years ago when Scherzer was still excellent, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. What would you think, who had the better trade deadline? Who did more for their team? Whose owner went out there and gave more? Who gave up more prospects? Who gave up more? Who paid more money? Who bettered their team? The Los Angeles Dodgers did. And what happened? Jacques Peterson and Jorge Soler went off, and Soler won the World Series MVP. Like that, the players got to perform. And that's what's going to happen for this New York Yankees team. They're going to have to step up and perform. And I do agree, they have to go out and get a bat. They have to go out and get a bat, whether it be now or at the trade deadline. And I'm focused more on that than even the rotation. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up? You know, think about this offseason. Plan A was to sign Juan Soto and get a first baseman. Imagine if that would have come to pass and where this team would be right now. You definitely don't have Max Fried. You would have lost Cole and Hill because, the reality is that both of them were just injuries waiting to happen. I think you can't say that neither of these injuries wouldn't have happened. So you would have been down those two pitchers, you have Juan Soto, that's great, but where would your rotation be right now?
If they went with Juan Soto instead of adding all these other pieces, it would be without Max Fried. And right now, the ace starting pitcher would be Carlos Rodon. That's true, but I still think they'd be better.
Well, no, and according to Cashman, you wouldn't have Williams either.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They would have done something. They would have had to have done something. Like, they weren't going to just sign Juan Soto and do nothing else. They spent more money than just Juan Soto. They were going to go do something. That you'd have Nestor Cortez in the rotation, right? So let's say that, right? If you wouldn't have got Devin Williams at the back end, Weaver would be your closer, and Nestor would still be in the rotation. So,
yes.
I mean, so maybe is Nestor better than what they have at the back end of the rotation right now? Yeah, I guess. So maybe they'd have a better pitcher at the back end of the rotation. I don't know. I'm just saying, with Juan Soto, they're better. I know we keep having this argument, Steve. I understand it. Juan Soto, the offense was better. I want the offense better. The New York Yankees have made it work with the starting pitching. Like, you yourself, you devalue starting pitching, right? Or that the aces aren't aces anymore. So, like, it's one or the other. Like, either the starting pitching's not that important anymore, there are no aces anymore, and you'll live with the starting rotation, or thank God they have an ace at the top of the rotation and they didn't get Juan Soto.
Well, in general, starting pitching's not as important, but if specifically you have starting pitchers that can go six or seven innings, then it is important. So that really depends.
And Cole is one of the Cole's one of the only guys who goes there. Look at how many innings he throws. Now, I know you have a problem with, you know, the idea that he goes six or seven is cold an ace, but he goes into the seventh inning more than almost all the other starters in baseball.
Yeah.
And look, it's a devastating injury, but I'm sorry. The team is not, right now, I would feel a hell of a lot better about this team if Juan Soto was in the middle of the lineup.
Well, look, I'll agree with you that they should given where they are right now, that they should focus on adding a hitter. And everybody knows they need a third baseman. And yeah. we all hope that they're going to address that at some point in the season. I was perfectly fine with them going into this year, taking a different approach, yeah. having a bit of a different look. And look, I think we both agree on this too. The American League is still very ripe to be had.
Absolutely.
The Orioles, look at the Orioles pitching. I mean, they're still in worse shape than the Yankees.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. No, 100%. The Yankee rotation is still better than the Orioles rotation. No doubt.
I
completely agree with you. That's why I'm still putting them as a playoff team. People want to panic. I understand that, and especially half the fan base, half the Yankee fan base despises the owner and the general manager. And obviously in this town, the Met fan base is looking to prove this big brother thing and they're going to be the best team. And so they're looking to crap on the Yankees. So right now, 75% of baseball fans in this city, and thank you for the call, Steve, 75% of the baseball fans in the city are gloating that today was the end of the Yankee season. It's not. I promise you, it is not the end of the Yankee season. As long as Judge is healthy, I will continue to say this, as long as Judge is healthy, they're a playoff team. That's the one guy they cannot lose. If Judge plays, they're a playoff team. Right? Everyone says, look, what was the difference to get them to the World Series? Juan Soto was on the team, they went to the World Series. Okay, what was the one difference in the year they didn't make the playoffs? Judge was hurt. If Judge plays, they will make the postseason. Now, again, I'm not bragging about that. I'm not trying to take bows for that. I'm not saying, look at those great Yankees that they can take anything and still make the postseason. I'm just saying, I think they will. They're still a playoff team today. And their rotation is better than a lot of the rotations in the American League. Max Fried is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, he's had injury issues, and that can't happen this year. I agree with you, too. He's got to stay healthy. But he's got the lowest ERA in all of baseball since 2020. Like, this is a ace-level starting pitcher. Now, sometimes pitchers come over here and players come over here first year with the New York Yankees or in New York and struggle. We've seen it from a lot of different people. I would hopefully that doesn't, you know, Fried is able to figure this out, but maybe there'll be some struggles. But still, yeah, I agree. This rotation's still better. And Luis Gil is coming back. And Will Warren has looked great in spring. And the Yankees do have a tendency, as much as we hate them for a lot of the stuff they do, they are able to get the most out of pitchers. They've done a really nice job in the pitching department. I wouldn't be surprised if Will Warren makes a big step this year. The season's not over. They're going to have to improve, and they need a better offense. And again, as much as I think he's a flawed player, right now, Luis Arraez is the perfect fit for the New York Yankees. The perfect fit. I don't know if he's still available. There's some mixed reports on that. It's getting late into spring. They have aspirations, you know, of their own, the Padres. I don't know if they're looking to make moves now. But if I could go get Luis Arraez, to me, right now, without a DH, you put him at DH. And I understand there's no pop there. I get it. Right? And typically, we'll see with Ben Rice. Ben Rice is having a nice little spring. Ben Rice is hitting the ball hard because that's where it is. Right now, I don't think it's going to be – I think they like Ben Rice. I do. I know he's got options, and if Dom Smith is having a really good spring, could I see him being the DH? Maybe. But I think it's going to be Ben Rice as your left-handed DH, you know, third option catcher, backup first baseman. It gives them flexibility. I know Dom Smith can play the outfield, so that gives them a little bit of flexibility. But you would have, you know, Ben Rice be able to be your third emergency catcher. And especially if you're going to hit your catcher leadoff, you might want to pinch run for him at some point. But I think it's him and Everson Pereira as your right handed complement. I think that's the DH right now. I think they're going to go Rice and Pereira as your platooned DH spot. And as much as Rice might give you more pop, and he's proven he can hit AAA pitching, and he's had moments, and he's had the 3-run home run game and all that, and I you know, they think he can hit. The New York Yankees organization absolutely thinks that Ben Rice can hit. And as much as he might provide more pop, which is typically what you look for in DH, they don't really have a typical leadoff hitter. They don't have a guy with a great on-base percentage to put in front of Judge. You go get Luis Arraez. You don't have to worry about him in the DH spot. He hits leadoff. He hits you 320, has an on-base percentage of 360, 370 in front of Judge. That's perfect. You got a guy on in front of Judge. You put Bellinger behind him, along with Wells behind him, and Goldie. I think that's the better team. But it's a matter of whether or not Hal's going to do that. Limo driver Ed, what's up, limo driver Ed? What's going on, pal? How are you?
What's going on, my buddy? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Where are we today?
All right, buddy. Well, I just left Trenton Mercer Airport, the little small one down there in Trenton. You ever been to that one before?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it's a real nice small one. It's like ABA up in Allentown, small ones. But, you know, hey, listen, man. I tell you one thing. I love you, Yankees. You're a Mets fan. But listen. Without Stanton, you know, Stanton doing the playoffs, man, got you guys through a lot of games.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, he came up clutch, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, you know what I'm saying? That thing is really, you know, to have that type of hitting, losing, the pitching, it's going to be tough, man. But the Yankees, I think they'll pull it through.
I mean, you don't know if Stanton's not going to be there in the postseason. As of right now, he still might be in the postseason.
Right.
There's no...
Well, you know, the thing is that, listen... I have arthritis in tennis elbow, bone spurs, rotator cuffs, and I'm still able to do what I do and go to the gym. The problem is with Stanton, man, he's doing too much, and he shouldn't be.
Well,
on the off season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not there with him. I have no idea if he's doing too much, too little. He's cut down on his bulk. He's slimmed down, right? He did that last year. It looks the same this year. He's still built like a Greek god, but it's not. He has slimmed down. Now, everyone lifts weights. I don't know how much he's doing. The way he looks, everyone assumes he's just nonstop in the gym, and that's been the report. I don't know if that's what's caused this. He says, and again, what he says, we don't know to be fact. He says he made some swing adjustments last year, and that's what started to cause it. I have no idea. I don't know what exactly caused it. Here's the thing. I hope he comes back. I hope he's back for the postseason. I would sign right now for August. I would sign right now to get Stanton back in August. Because they need him for the postseason. But, yeah, I think they need offense much more than they need pitching. Even with this injury. Even with Cole. I still think they need offense. And, you know, right now this team... I talked a lot about that I like units that are great. I looked at the rotation. I said it's the best in the American League, right there with Seattle. I think Seattle has an injury too. Isn't Kirby hurt? Some one of those starting pitchers, I think, is starting the year hurt. Maybe I'm wrong, but one of the best rotations in all of baseball behind the Dodgers, and arguably the best in the American League. They don't have that anymore. The offense is not an elite offense. You look around the American League, there aren't a lot of elite offenses. Maybe it's a top five offense in the American League. Minimum, it's a top five, or at least has the potential to be a top five. Has the potential to be better than that, but should be a top five offense. So they're not great offensively. Now they're not great in the rotation. And I still think the back end of the bullpen has an opportunity to be really good, but they've dealt with injuries there. You're still waiting. Efros hurt. You're still waiting on Loaiza to come back. You've had multiple injuries there. So you're still waiting on Cousins has been hurt. So the overall bullpen is okay or solid. The back end of the bullpen between Williams and Weaver should be excellent. Hamilton should be good if he stays healthy. And when they get Loaiza back, if he's healthy, that's a really good back end of the bullpen, elite bullpen. So that's really all they have right now is an elite bullpen. Rotation's average with a ace at the top of it, but no, who knows what else they have? And the lineup is average. And they have holes in it. And they're relying on a lot of youth. And they're counting on, you know, Bellinger revorting back to form. They're counting on Goldschmidt being, you know, somewhat close to the player he was 2 years ago. They're counting on Volpe to make a big step in his third year. You're counting on Wells to be Wells of the second half all year this year. You're counting on Jazz to be good all year this year. You're counting on Dominguez. Like, and I get it. I like a lot of those things. And I think that's the best for the team is to count on some youth. You need to have a good mix of veterans and youth. But that doesn't change the fact that when you count on as much as they count on, it's tough to then lose Stanton. It's tough to not have a third baseman. It's tough to lose two starting pitchers. Like, they're counting on a lot to go the right way to start losing all of this. Not a great day for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, talk a little more baseball. We'll get to Alvarez and the injury and the impact that'll have on the Mets. And obviously Clay Holmes. And then we will turn to all the news, all the going-ons inside the NFL as today at noon, I believe, starts the legal tampering portion of the program as we wait for free agency to officially happen on Wednesday. But we should know a lot later today. And where is Aaron Rodgers going? Because I'm telling you right now, if I lose Cole and Aaron Rodgers in the same day, I'm going to be pissed.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
What's going on? Enough of this hating our baseball team. So at least the Met fans are thrilled right now. Another incredible performance. He's got his pitches working, man. He was throwing back-to-back changeups. Clay Holmes looks good as a starter. That's a guy. I talked about it. He's someone right now for the Mets where if you look at him as he goes, the season goes. Because if he could be a legitimate threat in that rotation... I mean, right now he's got the sinker working, he's got the changeup working, he has had good stuff all spring. And that is a huge positive for the New York Mets as they're dealing with, you know, Nimmo is going to start ramping up, I guess, with his knee injury. It doesn't sound all that serious. The word is that he would be starting games if it were the regular season. Right now he'd be playing, but we'll see. And then the news of Alvarez with the hammock bone injury in his right hand, which is a tough injury. If you remember, Benintendi, for you Yankee fans, Benintendi had it at the end of 22. That was one of the killer injuries as he was acquisition of the trade deadline. He was having a great year for the Kansas City Royals. He came over to the Yankees, performed okay, not as good as he was in Kansas City, but was still good and was clearly their only left field option. It ended up being, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera out and left in the playoffs. I don't know if you remember how many balls dropped out in left field. It was a disaster. But he came back towards the end of the season into the playoffs and just, you know, wasn't very good. So that's a tough injury in the hand, especially, you know, for a catcher who's, you know, defense is so important, arm is so important, hands are so important, plus just gripping a bat. It is a tough injury, 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, right now you're looking for him to make a major step up and be a big cog in this offense. And the other major issue with it now, you know, Torrens is a good catcher, no doubt, you know, really known for his defense. But if you look at the numbers, the pitching staff, now I know it's a different pitching staff just by the nature of how the Mets do it, but they pitched far better. The ERA when Alvarez was in there was far better than anybody else. He has become a real great receiver, someone who is emotional out there, comes out and, you know, is really pushing his guys, you know, positive reinforcements. Like, he's really solid behind the plate. The pitchers love throwing to him. And this is a tough injury. And the injury bug has bit both of these teams. I mean, it's unbelievable. Who knows when Manaea is going to throw again? Hopefully soon. They're waiting on reports of his oblique. Then you got, obviously, Montas and the injury there. You're waiting on Nimmo to return, and now Alvarez is going to miss 2 months at the very least. No setbacks. And again, for a catcher, I'm wondering, you know, if this is a more impactful injury for that position. But that's a tough blow for the New York Mets. He is, you know, you can't afford to. You know, you don't want to lose your starting catcher. Now, again, is it something that should devastate them for 2 months? No, they should still be pretty good. The offense should still be pretty good. And as long as he comes back, my issue would be when he comes back, is he affected by it? Like, is that still an issue? Those bones in the hand are tricky. And that's why, you know, this is a good injury for the argument against the toughness of Major League Baseball players. Like, you hear this a lot, like, especially with hockey guys. Like, oh, hockey, you know. Hockey guys are so tough. Oh, why do baseball players get hurt all the time? For the most part, like, depending on position. Obviously, if you're a quarterback and you break this bone in your throwing hand, maybe you can't play. But for the most part, you're an offensive lineman. You're a D-tackle. You know, you're Myles Garrett, who, you know, only cares about money and not championships, like he told us. Like, you play through this. You got a broken bone in your hand, so what? You wrap it up, you go play. A baseball player cannot grip a bat. He cannot play. Plain and simple.
or for a catcher catch 90-plus miles an hour on that broken hand.
No, I know. It's tough.
You know, 100 times a day.
100 times a game. Yeah, that's why I was. That's my point. I was just making it. That I don't know if this is a more impactful injury for a catcher. And, you know, even when he comes back, hopefully it's 100% healed. But again, you're just banging it every day, all day long. Banging it, banging it, banging it, banging it, banging it. And you're going to need, you know, to grip a bat. That thing, how much does this cause pain for him all year? That's a tough, it's a tough injury. It's not only just that Alvarez is gone, which in itself is an issue. I just talked about how much the pitching staff loves him, and you're really hoping for him to make this large leap. Like Anthony Volpe should be making a large leap for the New York Yankees. You're looking for Alvarez to really step up and, you know, show a full season of the promise that he's given glimpses of. But defensively, he's been great since the jump. And that was supposed to be his biggest knock. But defensively, he's been great from jump. And the pitching staff loves throwing to him. So it's a tough injury for the Mets. And both of these teams, Yankees more so, but both of these teams have been just ravaged by injury. It has been a miserable spring, a miserable spring training. And the weather is warm one day, cold the next. I was out playing, you know, football in the yard with the boys this morning. It was freezing. Then it got a little warmer late in the afternoon. It was actually snowing by me for about a half hour. But I just need, we need some spring. I think we're going down to Florida in April. I just need some sun. I need what Fliegelman got last weekend. I need to get away from this whole crap. But just a brutal, brutal spring training. And the injuries for both of these teams are just impossible. But for the New York Yankees, it's a mad, like there's the Mets. Look, none of these injuries make you worry too much about who the Mets are going to be. Now, the rotation scares me to begin with. So we'll see. The Montas one, not as much because I didn't know how good he was going to be. The Mets felt very confident about him. They ran out to give him a two-year, $34 million contract. But obviously, Manaea was great last year. You're expecting him to be as good. Kodai Senga hasn't pitched, you know, all of last year. Clay Holmes has been great. David Peterson's been good in spring and what he was at the end of last year. And now you're going to have to rely on the, you know, Paul Blackburns and Griffin Cannings of the world, and we'll see what they are. But still, even with Alvarez, even with some of the injuries, you're expecting the Mets offense to really be potent and dangerous. And that's really the difference between the two teams, where I don't have any faith that the Yankees offense is going to be potent and or dangerous at all, other than Judge. But I still think they're a playoff team as long as they have him. 888-808-1019. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll transition to a little bit of football. Aaron Rodgers, where's he going? Oh, he still hopefully could be a New York Giant. Does the Geno Smith trade have that much of an impact? As a clear, like, the minute that trade happened, suddenly it was like, well, Rodgers is going to Minnesota. We'll see. I'm still hopeful.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We started with the baseball. We'll transition to football in a second. I got a couple Yankee phone calls on the line, though, so we'll take them real quick. As the Cole injury is going to rock us tomorrow when we'll find out. It was a crazy weekend, man. You had the Cole news, the football. There was from Geno Smith to Myles Garrett, the Josh Allen extension, Davante Adams, DK Metcalf, Sherwood with the Jets, all the grumblings of what's going to happen with the quarterback carousel, you know, all the different landing spots now for Aaron Rodgers, possibly what's going to happen to Sam Darnold now. Like, I don't know. Does Seattle cut Lockett? They traded Metcalf. What do they got? Smith and Igba? That's it. Like, what quarterback's going to want to go there? I know they were, like, I saw, you know, a couple spots talking about, oh, well, listen, all these options are better than the Giants. Really, is Seattle better than the Giants right now for a quarterback? Offensively, I mean, the team won more games last year. They've been a more stable franchise for sure over the last handful of years. I mean, I guess the division's a little bit easier, right? Who knows the Niners right now? You know, they've been so good, but right now their roster is, I mean, their quarterback situation, the Rams are good, but right now the Giants, Giants would have to deal with the best team in football and the Super Bowl champions, plus Jaden Daniels in Washington, who added some pieces. I don't know. New offensive coordinator in Seattle. So I don't know if that's a better spot. Minnesota clearly is. I think Minnesota clearly is a better spot. But I don't know. We'll have to find that out. But I would think that, to me, I can make a compelling case. We'll get into this in a little bit. I think the Giants aren't as bad as people think. I know it's crazy. I know they were terrible last year. I get it. They were playing with no quarterback. The defense wasn't very good either. And, like, I just think they could be you could sell a quarterback on a couple things, man. Hopefully the offensive line is better. Andrew Thomas back and healthy. Look at some of the numbers before Andrew Thomas went back down. The offensive line wasn't terrible. You've got one of the premier wide receivers in the sport, one of the premier young wide receivers in the sport. You got a young rookie offensive running back. You know, Wandell Robinson, you can promise to add more wide receivers at the draft. I mean, I wouldn't do this, but I heard Keith say it. You know, you tell him you can have Hunter and add that to the offensive game plan. I want especially if it's Aaron Rodgers, I want to draft a quarterback and not add Hunter. I can add wide receivers later. I can figure something out. I can go get wide receivers in free agency. 888-808-1019. But let's take your calls a little bit before we fully transition into the football. Rich in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Long time. Good. How are you, buddy?
What's up?
Good.
I'm all right. With this Cole injury, I'm going to just say a couple of points. Number one, the Yankees knew about this since last year. It was always an option that was on the table. That's why they acted with so haste to get another number one injury, yeah, just in case Cole went down.
Yeah, I mean, now, again, the problem. Let me just stop you there. I'll let you finish. I promise. Did they know that Cole getting hurt was a possibility? Yes. Did they know that he was destined for Tommy John this year by, you know, one way or another? I don't know about that.
Well, I respect your opinion, but I think otherwise at this point in time.
Well, when he opted out, why didn't they let him just leave if they knew he was going to need Tommy John?
Well, why didn't the Yankees resign him if they knew that he needed Tommy John too? Because he's already going to be out of here.
They did resign him.
They did. They waited a little bit, though. You know, it's not like, you know, we'll get to you. We'll make sure that you're taken care of. But my thing is that if they knew about this, they knew that this was going to be a possibility after the off season. Yeah, I know he was recovering well. They should have had him reevaluated and gone in and had the Tommy John surgery, because they have a new technique now that allows you to heal 6 months earlier. And maybe the season wouldn't have been that much of a complete wash.
Yeah, well, I still don't think the season for him, it's a complete wash. If it's Tommy John, I don't know. Again, I they're not going to go and operate on an elbow that doesn't need it. He pitched excellent in the World Series. He finished the season. What makes you think he needed Tommy John in November?
I think he needed Tommy John from last season, but he opted not to, and they kept it down because Cole, being Cole the way he is, he's a dog, and he only had possibly 1 year with Soto there, and they were on the time clock to try and win another World Series at that point in time. So they let them heal. They shut him down, and he came back after that. I mean, come on now. He also, in spring training, he was throwing mid-90s as well. I mean,
he was throwing 96, 97. Man, no, he was throwing. Mm-hmm. They liked his velocity. I don't think there was any, like, I don't think they knew he needed Tommy John surgery. I don't think this was inevitable. I don't think they looked at, I mean, did they have concern? Sure. Is that part of the reason the way they all got Max Fried? Of course. As Cole insurance, because he did have an elbow injury last year. I don't think he needed Tommy John last year and he decided to pitch through it. I don't think that's it. He had a nerve thing. I honestly don't think they're not going to mess with him. He's making so much money over so many years. I know it's only 1 year of Juan Soto. You think they're going to have him pitch through an elbow that needs Tommy John surgery, do nothing all offseason, and then bring him back out multiple times in spring training? Like, they wouldn't have handled this the same if they thought he needed Tommy John. Like, if what you said, that the doctors told him Tommy John was necessary, or at least, you know, going to happen within the next year, and he could push through it just for this half season, for that year, just because, you know, Juan Soto was there. Like, this is the Yankees. I know Juan Soto was there for only 1 year. They compete for championships every single year. He's going to forego surgery, push it to get through the season, and then not have elbow surgery the entire offseason, have a normal offseason, enter spring training normally, throw normally, have him throw 37 pitches in a spring training inning, and then have him taken out of the game and then brought back in. All this knowing that his elbow was ready to blow? Like, I find it hard to believe. They just knew that he's older, and he had an elbow injury last year, so let's just be safe and make sure we have another ace on the staff. I do think that. I do not think they had some sort of ominous news that they knew Tommy John was happening. Now, again, I understand your point. There was even John Boy, who is close to the Yankees, close to the Yes Network. The John Boy Talking Yanks airs on Yes Network occasionally. They have, you know, relationships with the Yankees and with the Yes Network. He was just on the field with Judge and Boone. So he's well informed, more informed than I am. And he said that there were whispers of Tommy John in November. So maybe that's true. I find it hard to believe. Why wouldn't they just have the Tommy John? Like, why wouldn't they have the surgery? Like, I think it was always they didn't know he needed Tommy John. Did they know that his elbow was in a precarious situation and it's definitely a possibility? Yeah, maybe. But it wasn't anything where they were pitching him, like, knowing he was injured. Like, I don't know about that. I don't think they knew this was coming this year. It's not like, oh, well, yeah, no, well, today's the day. We knew it was coming anyway. Like, I really don't think it was that. Maybe I'm wrong. Alan in Manhattan. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Chris. You know, before I get to the meat and potatoes of football,
yeah.
I mean, if he's throwing 95 miles an hour, nobody's thinking Tommy John, but he might have just aggravated the same injury he had early last year.
Right.
And it's gotten worse, you know. All right, Chris, put the Giants. First of all, I blame Drew Lock. We don't have the first pick because of him. Because of Drew Lock, we don't have the first pick. He had to beat the Colts.
I know. He did have to beat the Colts. I'm very frustrated they don't have the first pick. But listen, let's see what they can do here at the third pick. Right now, I'm more focused on Aaron Rodgers and who's going to be the bridge quarterback, who's going to be the veteran quarterback. Because I think they want one. I think they need one. And right now, all of a sudden, it felt like nobody wants him, right? Pittsburgh was leaning towards getting one of these two quarterbacks back. I don't know now if Justin Fields. Sounds like the Jets might be hot and heavy after Justin Fields. But if he was going to even talk to the Giants, we assumed all other options are dead to him, right? And now, all of a sudden, the rumors are after the Geno Smith trade, which I really don't know. I understand Pete Carroll's there in Vegas, and I'm sure Brady okayed it. But what is Geno Smith going to do for the Raiders? Like, I don't know what Geno Smith does for the Raiders. He gives them legitimate quarterback play, okay, but they're going to trade a third round pick for Geno Smith with that roster? What are they going to do with that roster? Now, but once that trade happened, it was suddenly like, okay, well, now, boom, Sam is going. This was the talk. It's kind of cooled off a little bit, but the immediate talk was Sam is going to go and leave Minnesota, and he's going to go with Seattle. And that Rodgers is now on the table for Minnesota, which would be, can you follow Brett Favre's exact footsteps? Is that not a little weird? Like, you come into the Green Bay Packers, there's so much made about his unhappiness that you were drafted, so much made about the poor relationship you guys had, so much made about his inability or his desire to not be a mentor for you. You hope you do it differently than Brett. Brett goes to the Jets. Brett goes to the Vikings to end his career. And now you're going to follow the exact same footsteps? That is bizarre. But just one of those weird things. Doesn't mean it's not the best option for him, because let's be honest with that. You know, you got, obviously, arguably, you know, but maybe now Chase off the year he just had. But you've got arguably the best wide receiver in the sport. You've got Addison to go along with it. You've got the tight end to go with it. You've got an offense and an offensive-minded head coach that's as good as, you know, any in the league over the last couple of years. He just turned around Sam Darnold's career. He had, you know, he won 13 games with Kirk Cousins, or 12 games with Kirk Cousins. Like, this is a excellent offensive-minded head coach. That's a good spot to go. Now, I don't know why Minnesota would want to put J.J. McCarthy off another year to bring in Aaron Rodgers at this point, but right now I am very concerned that my dream is not going to happen. I don't think Seattle's as good a landing spot as the Giants. I really don't. I think the Giants, as far as him putting up numbers, and that's what it's going to come down to for Aaron Rodgers. Like, what does Aaron Rodgers want to do? I'm sure he wants to win, obviously, but I also think he wants to resurrect his career and resurrect his name and put up numbers. The idea of him and Malik Nabers, and they can possibly get another wide receiver in the draft. They can get another wide receiver in free agency. You got Wandell Robinson. You've got a young running back in Tracy. You got an all-pro left tackle in Andrew Thomas. As bad as the Giants have been, I don't think the offense is a disaster for a veteran quarterback to come in and be successful, or a rookie quarterback to come in and be successful. And hopefully they do both. And, you know, Seattle's got a new offensive coordinator. The Giants have Brian Daboll, who I think, you know, has had his failings as a head coach. And sure, the offense hasn't looked good. He hasn't been given much of a quarterback play. I do think he's got an opportunity to be a good offensive coach. I would think a veteran would want to come in and work with him, have Malik Nabers, have a young running back, have a tight end prospect in Theo Johnson, have Wandell Robinson. Like, those options sound better to me than just going throwing to, you know, Smith and Nigba, that's it. That's all you got in Seattle. So we'll see what's going on, but a lot of moves around the NFL. The quarterback positions for the New York Giants and Jets, we'll try and figure that out at 3 o'clock. We will spin the wheel of quarterbacks. It started as a Jet thing, but it's pretty much open to both teams. But as the Jets spurned out Aaron Rodgers, who's all over the place now, who's attached to everybody. And I'll tell you this right now, he goes, and also, who is Sauce Gardner tweeted? I guess Sauce Gardner had some problem in Paris, too. But Sauce Gardner tweeted that if he goes to Minnesota, Minnesota's a dangerous team. I bet you they are. Aaron Rodgers goes to Minnesota, it's a good football team.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.